Oh yeah, jazzy ending. Jordan Rakay auf Flux FM am Freitagnachmittag mit Nerve gehört, der Neuseeländer, der mittlerweile von London aus arbeitet. Er ist jetzt bei mir im Studio. Wir quatschen über die Show heute Abend im Seelchen in der Holzmarktstraße und die zweite LP des Multi-Instrumentalisten, die Wallflower heißt und die jetzt via Ninja Tune veröffentlicht wurde. Wir finden nochmal raus, wie wichtig der Umzug nach London war für die Entwicklungen im Sound des Jordan Rakay, und wir sprechen über persönliche Texte und den Vortrag derselben vor Publikum. Vielleicht erwähnen wir das London College of Creative Media sogar nochmal oder ähnliches. Zunächst sage ich nochmal hello and welcome, Jordan.
Hello, man. Thank you for having me.
How are you doing today?
Yeah, really good. Really cool. Excited.
Where are you coming from, actually?
We drove all the way from London to be here.
Wow.
First show of the European tour tonight in Berlin.
Nice.
Yeah,
oh,
man.
People are looking forward to that very show.
Yeah.
Tonight, and you're looking forward to it.
This is one
as
of
well.
Our favorite. This is one of my favorite cities in the world. So it's just nice to be here. Yeah, man.
Yeah, cool. So you've traveled with the band, because I've read about the fact that you're kind of like touring with the six piece in the UK right now. Are they here as well?
They all came over. It's the biggest band I've toured with ever.
Yeah.
Got percussionist, got the extra guitarist, and then the standard like drums, bass, guitar, me on keys. So
nice.
There's all of us, man.
I think, I mean, when one's listening to a song like Nerve, and you're opening your ears to all the stuff that's happening in there, it's almost like a wall of sound.
Exactly.
Kind of recording.
That's why when I was touring, I didn't want to cut it, you know, do any shortcuts and underplay the album. So I made sure I had to like hire more people to like make the album sound, you know, pretty full.
It's the sad tale of an artist that gets bigger and bigger, but still doesn't make any money because
exactly.
He affords a bigger band,
exactly,
you know?
Exactly, man, exactly.
But
that's the life.
A sympathetic thing, though, because one realizes that you're not in it for the money, but for the music and for the art.
Exactly. I've always been one for, like, you know, as soon as the bigger I get, the better I want my show to
be.
I'm sure one day it will hit a ceiling, but for now I still want to like hit people with this wall of sound as much as I can.
No, I love the idea of that, and I really love the way you incorporated like live drumming into your new songs. I think there was a partner in crime that worked with you called Jim McRae.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You've recorded the entire album in his studio.
Yeah, so me and Jim, I worked on the whole album at his studio. He's my drummer, and also he sort of co-produced the record with me. And he's drumming with me today, so he's like my usual drummer for touring. So it's good to like have more live. I feel like it's a bit more lively, and the songs are a bit more dynamic with real drums.
Yeah, totally. Especially Nerve, the song we've just listened to, it has that perfect mixture of like an electronic feel, but yet there's this analog drumming.
Yeah, exactly.
I really love it.
Yeah, exactly.
He's done a great job. So his input was kind of important for the record, or did you kind of like have a plan, a sound aesthetic planned before?
We were sort of discovering the sound as we went along.
But cool.
I took the songs into the studio. He was there as sort of like my sounding board. And then I would just go, how about this, you know, strange synth idea? And he'd be like, yeah, let's record it. So it was having someone to bounce ideas off with is how it came out. So the whole record sounds quite seamless because it's sort of this. We worked in it in about 2 months. We finished it, so we were in there like every day trying to make it all sound cohesive. So it's good having two people like trying to do that.
Yeah, and it's perfect to find a partner in crime who shares ideas
exactly,
and who has the same vocabulary, right? Because
exactly.
I mean, there's talented musicians out there with whom you would discuss for months before there's a common ground that
exactly.
You found. You know,
it made me learn a lot about like. That's a really good point. Finding the right people that can fit your team, not necessarily, you know, you can go to America and choose all these top level world class performers, but how are they, you know, like incorporating their sound into it and or like compromising? So it's all about like collaborating and stuff.
Yeah. And you shouldn't underestimate the vibe with the person, because you have to go on tour with them eventually
exactly.
for like months in the same fucking small bus.
Yeah, exactly.
And if they're the best drummer in the world, but assholes, you know, it's not going to be fun.
Yeah. So Jim, I've known Jim since I first moved to London. So it's like a good friend of mine. So it's good to do the record with him.
Yeah. And he's one of the best drummers in the world without being an asshole. Let's just point that out.
Yeah, he is.
What I love about the new LP is that you let listeners in on this LP. One does get close to the man behind the music, his fears and worries and his flaws and his sadness maybe as well.
Yeah.
Would you say that working on this record was kind of like therapeutical for you? And how is performing songs like May in front of an audience? Because I read that in the beginning it was kind of hard for you to sing about your grandmother's death in front of an audience.
It was. It's really, when I was writing the album, that's a good question. I guess when I was writing it, Because I never talk about this sort of stuff to my friends. It's good to, like, when you put it onto a song, there's no judgment. There's no one there, like, that can, like, you know, have a conversation back with you. It's sort of me putting it all out without anything to be received. But doing it live, it's quite special. I feel like this is something I'd never tell anyone, but I'll happily sing it to you, you know, with these chords underneath. So it's nice. It's like a nice vehicle for me to, like, speak about it or sing about it live, all these, like, heavy topics. So
I think that's how therapy works as well, right? There's no judgment. You just tell and tell and tell and talk about yourself, and the therapist is not going to be like, oh no, you what you just did was wrong. Listen, right?
I think the idea is just to, like, get it all out there. And that's what I did. That's what I did with the album. The whole album's about, like, social anxiety.
Yeah.
And not necessarily, like, not every song is about being shy in a social situation. It's more like how it can have an effect on you in, like, you know, 11 different ways.
Yeah.
So there's 11 tunes, and, like, you know, each topic, one might be about my friend's drug abuse and, like, me overcoming that sort of thing. And one topic is just about me being shy. So
yeah,
it changes. Yeah, the whole album changes, but the whole theme is, like, social anxiety.
Yeah, I really love the fact that you let people in, that you let people get a bit closer to you. And I really think it's a good way to kind of, like, get into the charts, so to say, because the most popular songs and the most successful songs have always been, like, super close to the artist, super personal, you know, super sad when you listen to them for the first time. And you were like, wow.
I feel like that's because there's a lot of music these days. I mean, even back in the 70s, like, all that whole funky vibe stuff, and everyone's, you know, they get attached to the music. But what stays, you know, what holds on the longest is the songs with, like, the strongest message that people can relate to. So that's why people like Adele and Sam Smith are really cutting through, because they're talking about, like, emotional stuff, and everyone's, you know, they can relate in some way.
Yeah. It's about being able to relate and about a certain intimacy.
Exactly.
That's between the guy or the girl who's singing and the audience. And then some people, they have this huge talent, but they shy away from telling too much about themselves. And I really think that's the end for some careers.
I mean, not
all of them are failing, but I really think it's so important that you let in. I mean, you have to find out how close you let those people in, because you can't really.
But I've even found a lot of people don't even know how to do that for themselves. They don't even like to, I guess, delve deep into their own self for their own reasons, to, like, discover what's in their own mind. So that is already, like, a process to go through, and then to go from that to, like, telling people about it is, like, the next step. But that's what it took me, like, you know, moving to London, discovering myself as a person, and then sort of writing about it.
And that might be another great move. Just go somewhere where you don't know anybody, because you'll be thrown back onto yourself.
Exactly.
You have to start thinking about things that you kind of, like, put away years before, maybe.
Exactly. When you get in your little bubble and your comfort zone, you're not pressured to do anything, like, socially or even creatively. But when I moved to London, you know, I knew no one. I knew no musicians, knew no friends. So I was like, cool, all right, what do I do? Like, let's have a session with this guy. Okay, I have to meet someone new. This is hard for me, but, like, let's do it. And then, you know, you just, like, exposed, and you sort of are thrown in the deep end, and then you just learn the skills as you go. Yeah.
I mean, congratulations on kind of, like, stepping over your shadow, or, you know what I'm saying, or leaving your shadow behind when you moved to London, because as a shy person, it must have been hard to do the first steps, but now your record's out on fucking Ninja Tune.
Yeah, I know, man.
You know all the people, like Loyal Khan and Tom Misch and all those guys. I mean, I think you worked with Tom before.
Yeah, I have.
Via the internet, but I mean, for a shy person, you know the right people.
Yeah,
that's good.
I mean, that's why when I was moving, I was so excited to, like, just get to London and, like, crack on with, like, my life and, like, discover myself. So I met Tom within, like, 2 weeks of moving, all that crew, you know, all the Southeast jazz crew. So there's so much. I mean, now London's just an amazing place for music. So there's so much stuff happening there right now.
All right, cool. Let's talk about that in a few moments. I'll want to play another song of the album Wallflower in between. Wir hören hier nochmal Carnation von Jordan Rakai auf Flux FM und quatschen dann noch ein bisschen weiter auch über seinen Umzug nach London und natürlich über die Show heute Abend, für die wir noch Tickets verlosen. Jordan Rakai. Jim McRae in the filter zone.
That's it, mate. On that knob.
Oh man, what a great song. What a great record. Congratulations on it once again. I've read about plans to remix the whole thing under your Dan Kai moniker. Yeah, because you've put out music as Dan Kai
Dan
as well.
Dan Kai, yeah. So
dance music.
Dance music is like house, sort of like funky, soulful stuff.
It's good. It was a good way to kind of like get better with your production skills, right?
Definitely. Also, doing the side project is cool because no one really, I mean, some people know it's me, but no one really knows it's me yet. So there's no judgment. I'm just here making beats and releasing them. Yeah. So now remixing like some tunes off Wallflower, it's like a bit of a challenge because these are my own songs.
It's schizophrenic, man.
And I'm like, wait, I'm remixing my own song. Like, this is crazy. But yeah,
it
man,
seems
it's really
a bit
exciting.
Unhealthy, kind of. It's a dangerous task that you've come up with. I'm going to remix myself. But I mean, it's a good idea, and I'm really looking forward to it. I've read about plans to kind of like incorporate Loyokana or people like that. Have you started with the remixes of that new record?
I have with the Dan Kai stuff. Yeah, we're looking to do like different sessions and remixes of the Warflower tunes in the original state, but getting like some of my favorite you know, artists on to like do a feature vocal, like Loyal.
Yeah.
Tom, I was trying to get like, you know, MF Doom or something like
wow.
that. But like, I mean, that's a Q-tip. These are all like the dreams. But yeah, put out like a collaborations EP as well. So loads of content coming up, man. Next 6 months, going to be loads of stuff.
Nice. When one's listening to a song like Nerve, one does feel that you've been trained with hip-hop as well.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of hip-hop-ish elements in your music still. And I've read, that's something I found out today, actually, that you worked with the Disclosure on a very successful song in 2015.
Yeah, man.
So do you have plans to kind of like collaborate with other artists once again? Because I think that's a good thing for an artist nowadays, because you with selling your own records, you can come far, but I mean, it's not like in the 80s or in the 90s where you'd be like, yeah, it's my second house, second LP, second house,
yeah.
and another car, and another super metal girlfriend.
It's definitely not like that.
No, it's not. But I think if you keep busy and if you kind of work with other artists who are successful,
yeah.
you can double or triple
definitely.
Your income.
It's a dream. I've this whole year I've been like so focused on finishing Wallflower, the album, so I've like put off all collaborations. There's a couple coming out in the next couple of months, maybe next year. But after I finish my last sort of Wallflower leg in Australia next year, I'm going to crack on and like, you know, try and work with more people, maybe go to LA, do some writing trips there. That classic like LA writing trip.
Yeah, that's it's a become week. A classic in the last few years,
yeah,
really.
There's an amazing scene there, man. Like that whole Robert Glasper community and even the Kendrick community there. Yeah. It'd be amazing to like work with these guys.
And the Mike Snow Swedish guys have another little posse that's working there. It's interesting. Yeah.
It's amazing. So that'd be a dream.
The next Britney Spears Toxic song is probably going to be written by John Raquet. Oh, but what I really would love is like a hip-hop album with your beats and different MCs. Maybe you think about that.
We were
going
to do that.
Yeah.
And we still might do that.
Cool.
Because hip-hop was a big part of my life. So I've obviously ventured a bit into darker stuff, but I'm going to go back into the hip-hop thing.
And when one's listening to your stuff, one realizes that you haven't forgotten about the way hip-hop
That's
functions.
How I learned how to make beats.
Yeah,
so
cool.
Heavy, you know, rhythm.
Cool, cool, cool. So tonight, set up, you're with the full band. You're going to play Wallflower material,
most of it.
Wallflower,
old stuff as well.
Cool.
Some special remixes in there for anyone coming, but loads, it's a long set, so biggest band.
Cool.
Come along if you can.
Wow, that sounds so great, man. I want to wish you the best of luck for tonight's show.
Thank you.
And for your next moves. Congratulations on being signed to Ninja Tune. We haven't even talked about
Cheers,
that, but
man.
It's a good thing.
It's a pleasure, man.
We love that label so much. We love Fink.
Oh
like
my God, he's one of my favorite artists.
He lives around the corner here, basically.
Does he?
I mean, not around the corner, but he lives in Berlin by
he's
now.
He's on tour. He should come to the show, but he's on tour. I think he's on tour.
But maybe if you need connections with him, maybe if you want to do something with him, that would be cool.
He don't
need us, though.
No,
he's on the same label.
He's in the same label.
Just, we'll make it. We'll give you the contacts and stuff. What a fucking shit. Wer heute Abend zu Jordan Raquel möchte, der kann uns jetzt anrufen. 030-2000-9000 ist die Nummer zum Glück. Berlin 2000-9000. Der spielt im Seelchen in der Holzmarktstraße. Ein schöner kleiner Auftrittsort, der noch relativ neu ist. It's gonna be great at Seelchen tonight. Have you been there before?
No, I haven't.
It's kind of new. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing, man. Big venue.
Yes, yes, yes. Heute Abend also im Sätchen an der Holzmarktstraße Jordan Raquet. Um an die Tickets zu kommen, 030 2000 9000 anrufen. Jordan, it was a great pleasure to be talking to you.
Cheers, man. Thank you for having me.
I hope we'll meet each other again, maybe in 2018 when you come back for another leg of the tour. Or
album
maybe
number three.
Yeah, yeah, nice. Love it. See you there. Bye-bye.
Cool, man. See you later.